to say anything.
Not a word. Check 1 2. Check. Check. Da, 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 da. Hi, everybody. Nice to see you. Good to see you. Good to be here. My hair looks good. I am on point. Welcome back to the program. I don't know what it is. What is it about my hair that it's not working? I don't know what it is. It's not like I care about my hair. Lock and Cross joins us as he always does. It's not like I'm a big hair guy. Glad I have it. Looks incredible. Arctic blonde. Should be a color that you can get at Shoppers Drug Mart. I've been asked about it by many women. I just didn't shower today. So, you know, it's one of those
days.
Is this
day three you haven't had a shower?
I shower every day, but I always shower before the podcast, which is usually around noon. We've changed our schedule because you've had a comeuppance in your life, and that's where I want to start today. And I want to start there today because I want to bring in a special guest. He's a surprise guest. It's a motivate. I know you can see him in the green room.
I know. He's sitting right there in front of me.
I know. I can see him too. Because I want to motivate you. This is me bringing you a talisman. This is me helping you understand what it's going to take in the next phase of your life to be filthy, stinking rich. Please welcome to the program, Bitcoin educator, financial advisor, Mr. Scotty Trades. Look at that. There you go.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Oh, it's good to see you. Lachlan, what's new?
You know, I love the old radio guys, Zay. Like, you would never, in any other business, you would never make fun of somebody for being shit bad. But radio people are like, so it happened again, eh?
Well, yeah. And specifically, Scotty, old school radio guy in Lethbridge, pivoted to, you know, financial services. And yeah. I know over the past couple of years, Lachlan, you've been really hard on Scott over the Bitcoin thing, the crypto crash,
it's
FTX.
Not Scott. It's Hang that on. What he's involved in is a criminal activity, and okay. I hope he's well at it.
Okay, so anyway, let's get to that criminal activity, because while he's been busy doing something you don't approve of, and you've
it's
been
not
getting
that
fired,
I don't approve. I want him to do well.
Well, good news, because he is. Scott, take old Locker here through your last couple of months. Teach us about this incredible Bitcoin.
I actually
wave
even know this, that it's been doing well.
Huge.
It's
huge.
Been, I mean, it's been just a whirlwind over the last couple of months, guys. So, you know, last year we had Bitcoin. January 2023, Bitcoin was down around, you know, 16,000. 20,000, something like that, US dollars. And today we're just around 72,000 US. And so last year, you know, it wasn't in the news a lot, but last year was a massive year for Bitcoin. I don't know if you can see the screen behind me, but it's just, it basically went from 16,000 to 70, hit 73,000 today.
Oh,
so yeah, you know, it's been a massive run. And just, I mean, you know, imagine if you guys had bought the dip, you would have, like, imagine, Lachlan, if you had 100% more money than
Scott,
you have right now. Like,
I don't disagree.
That.
Yeah.
Think
I don't
about
disagree.
All the money in your account. And then
no,
imagine.
No, you don't
double.
Understand. That's not how the world works for
Clearly
me.
Clearly, he
and we've
does
had
understand.
This conversation. We've had this conversation. No, you don't understand my influence on the markets. If okay. I had thrown any money into it, it would have crashed again.
That's so stupid.
The entire ecosystem of Bitcoin would have gone under, and then you'd be destitute living in my basement.
No, it doesn't work like that.
Well, one of my rental properties.
at least we'd be able to get drunk out blackout drunk together.
Yeah.
As opposed to you doing it by yourself now.
Well, actually, I got a story. I have a story.
You know what,
about
Scott,
being...
before we get to that story of you getting blackout drunk and you literally nursing your hangover as we start the podcast, can we just deal with
where Bitcoin is at and let Scott gloat for a second. Give me the last 3-4 months. When did this thing start to take off?
Good, eh?
So it really started to take off in September of last year. So we launched a service called Crypto Market Mentor through stockmarketmentor.com and myself and Dan Fitzpatrick. And, you know, the market was not really interested in Bitcoin, but we saw the Bitcoin ETFs potentially being approved in the United States. And, you know, this is really that wall of money coming into this ecosystem that we had talked about. You know, I've been on your show many times and I've talked about, guys, there's a wall of money coming. You don't understand. It's coming. And now that money is finally making its way into this asset class because they have an easy way to do it through an exchange traded fund like an ETF. And so there was a big run up. What's into an ETF? Hype. It's like a stock that you can own. So typically an ETF would be like the S&P 500 would be a collection, a basket of stocks.
Right.
Didn't the exchange thing not go so well? Wasn't that Sam guy doing an exchange?
You don't know what you're talking about now. Yeah, that's a different exchange. You're in the wrong lane, dude.
And so we had this big wall of money come in, and it's still coming in. In fact, on Tuesday of this last week, we had the biggest inflow into Bitcoin, over $1 billion of new money coming into Bitcoin daily. And so we had $1 billion on Tuesday. We had about $600 million yesterday. And that's what we're seeing. We're consistently seeing new money flow into this asset class, new money that's never been able to buy Bitcoin because they didn't want to open up a crypto account. They just wanted to trade in their stock account. And now we're seeing that kind of play out with, you know, essentially a scarce asset where there's only so much of it available for sale, and then a bunch of money that's now fighting for allocation to that asset.
All right. I understood 75% of that. I understood the most important parts of it. I know that it is a place to store energy, store money. I know it is an appreciating asset right now. Can't deny those losers that fucked it up for you, like CZ from Binance and Sam Bankman-Fried and all those guys. Is the fear out of the marketplace? Like, have the pretenders and the pranksters kind of been hustled out? Is that why people have more confidence in this? And then the other part of that question is, how much more money than Lachlan did you make since September?
I'm not gonna answer that publicly. I won't answer that publicly, but you and I can have an offline conversation.
Yeah, because it's exactly the same amount of more money that you made than me as well. So I'm just shitting on myself by asking that question.
I mean, it's hard. You know, investing in the market, as Lachlan has often said, is not easy. And investing in stocks, you know, there's a great guy who I've interviewed on my podcast, Hot Wallet, named Mark Yusko. And he says, you know, the stock market is the only place in the world where prices go down and people run out of the store. And that's exactly what happened when we saw these big outflows of Bitcoin. You know, Bitcoin, as you know, you guys know, you're making fun of it the whole fucking way.
Oh, dude, I made fun of it for 3 solid years.
It was going down.
I never did.
Oh, yes, you did.
I never did. I never made fun of Bitcoin.
Memories. I've blocked that negative vibe out of my life.
I did not.
A new higher end lifestyle.
What I said. What I said.
You can pay for that reparative counseling with all that Bitcoin money from when Lachlan told you that you were involved in a criminal enterprise and a scam, dude. You said it like 5 minutes ago on this show. So it's not like we don't have a recent recording of you mocking the industry, which, by the way, I'm guilty of too.
It's fine. And it makes sense because there were a ton of bad actors. There were bad actors in this space, and that's fine. But
they're all gone now. I'm sure it's been all cleaned up in the stock market too. All of them gone. There's nobody that's trying to screw anybody.
I don't know if all of them are gone, but a lot of the main bad actors are gone. Right. And again, you know, you've had major institutions like BlackRock, like ARK Invest, like Bitwise, Franklin Templeton come in and essentially bless Bitcoin as the institutional grade crypto asset. Now, the other ones are still very speculative. Ethereum is very speculative. Solana, Avalanche, Internet Computer, you know, these are all still speculative assets. But those are still places that I think you can get outsized gains as a speculative investor. And that's usually what happens. You know, if you think of the stock market generally, you have large cap stocks. You know, we're talking Apple, Microsoft, Tesla, all the name brand kitchen table stocks, you know. Mm-hmm. Underneath that, there's like mid caps. And these are like companies that haven't been big enough to get into that large cap space. And then underneath that, there's small caps. And then underneath that, I think of cryptocurrency because of the speculation. And so, yes, you're going to get a ton of volatility. It's going to go up a lot. It's going to go down a lot. But volatility is what traders want, because we want that upside volatility. And that's what we're seeing right now in this asset.
Exactly the point I keep making. Here's how I've summed up the stock market.
He's got 5 minutes.
And so, cryptocurrency. Okay. Yeah. I can do it quickly.
All right. Well, there's a big
pot of money. Okay. And then there's people all around outside of that pot of money, and they're shuffling the money around from one thing to the next. And if you're good at it, like you are, Scott,
by the way, you know
where to move money and when to move it.
You'll ever get.
Okay. But if you're not good at it and you don't pay attention to it like you should, you can get taken advantage of. And that's how I've always just sort of justified my lack of involvement in it, because I don't have the time in my day to do what you do, which is sit in your basement.
Actually,
all
I would
day
say
long
maybe right
watch.
Now you do.
I was going to say, what else?
I am busier now doing? Than I was when I had a full-time freaking job.
Drinking heavily. We've covered this.
Hey, did you get after it last night, kid? Did you get after it last night? Did you have
let Scott go, because Scott's got to take the kids to school and then smoke
Scott,
a joint on
for,
his deck.
I just brought him on to gloat, dude. I just brought him on to feed it to you, because he and I, like, he sends me, we have a cute little DM relationship. He'll send me, like, you know, a video of a Bitcoin guy that just made $12 billion yesterday going, paper money makes you poor, 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 poor. Paper money makes you poor, 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 poor. And I'm like, ooh, that's a cute meme. And so he sends it to me to rub it in with me. And I just wanted to share the rub in with you today. That's all, Scotty. Great to see you.
I'm happy for you. Legit. I'm legit happy for you and your family, Scott. And I'm glad it's bounced back.
You know what you should do? Maybe head to a pub, maybe a bar, dance night. Get a bottle of champagne, maybe tell the DJ Austin Rhodes your favorite tune, pour some champagne on your Casio.
Actually, Casio. You should probably put
this
a little of that
a T-so,
money that you
sir.
Made aside.
This is a T-so.
Oh, pardon me. Pardon
Swiss
me,
made. Swiss T-so. Made.
You pour should some, put a little bit of that money
Miller
aside
on your
just in case the markets crash and you lose your home.
Well, if that happens, you know, my backup plan is to move in with one of you guys. So,
yeah, do it.
You know, I'm safe either way.
Do it. I just picked up 3.5 of really killer indica. Come on over. We'll have a good time.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Irene, yeah, a lot of fun.
Good to see you, Scott.
Good to see you. Yeah, we'll right, we'll
by
see
the way,
you guys
Irene
the
and Jimmy, my tenant in the basement's moving out at the end of April. So.
Oh, perfect. That's nice. Thanks for letting us know. Scott Trades at Scott Trades is where you can find him. StockMarketMentor.com, Bitcoin trainer, trader, but also educator, rubbing it in today. I love these bits. Thanks so much, dude. Great to see you.
See you guys.
All right. Scotty McGregor, Scotty Trades. That sucks for us. Hey, eh?
Can you see that?
What? Oh, I know what you did. Drinking injury.
Yes.
Okay. What happened?
I do have some advice for people, because I'm a pretty limber guy, and I do regular yoga, and I was probably six beer in last night when I fell down the stairs, and I think that the regular yoga and the fact that I was drunk may have benefited to my crash down the stairs. I am 225 pounds right now. I've lost a little bit of weight since my Mexico trip. We don't need to get into details.
Montezuma's Revenge is a great diet aid. It really is.
Yeah. Move over, Ozempic.
Okay.
Go have street tacos in Mexico.
Explain this to me. We got some stuff to get to. By the way, happy crack smoking Mayor Law and Order Toronto episode day. We're going to talk about that. The whole Law and Order Toronto episode with the crack smoking Toronto mayor.
I wonder where they got that.
That happens today. Speaking of crack, we've got a really coked out Conor McGregor going to get to today, and some scary shit When it comes to India and our political ecosystem in this country, everybody needs to pay attention to. I don't know if you're watching the news, if you saw the Fifth Estate thing. Anyway, we'll get to that in just a second. Let's deal with your drinking injury. what time was this? When did it happen?
Last night. By the way, Connor Brown scored last night, and they celebrated like they won the Stanley Cup.
Connor Brown, meaning Connor Brown, the new Edmonton Oiler who was picked up on waivers.
Not the newest. Yeah, has had some injury issues. This year's been healthy.
Why are you bringing that up while we're asking about a drinking injury? Can you?
Because I was watching the hockey game. So Connor McDavid and him played together in juniors.
Okay, yeah.
And anyway, I haven't watched the highlights. I missed it because I went to bed. It happened in the third period. Big win for the Edmonton Oilers last night. So I quite often will disrobe when I watch TV. Like, we watch TV right behind me here. And we had the game on last night, my wife and I. And I got into it a bit. And
hang on. Just wait.
I'll be in my underwear.
Disrobe. Like, you, what time? So game starts at like 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock last night.
Your
was a late
routine
one.
Home game. Is to take all of your clothes off.
Mm-hmm.
And sit and drink beer.
I don't know why. I'm a bit of a nudist.
You do that all the time? You always take... Are you wearing underwear while you're watching the game? Or are you nude?
I did have my boxers on. Yeah.
But sometimes naked.
Sometimes. And I had socks on, I remember, because I thought to myself, if I had taken my socks off, maybe I wouldn't have slipped on the... So I grabbed my phone, and I was like, I think I'm going to go to bed. It was I'm still going to bed fairly early. It was 10 o'clock-ish, and the third period hadn't started yet. So I'm like, I'm just going to go. And I walked around behind the trunk there.
Yeah.
And I hit the top of the stairs, and I slipped, and I went boom all the way down a flight of stairs. Scared the living shit out of my wife.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's the end of the story.
That's the end of the story.
We're going to copy and paste that story into a quick podcast, and you're going to just drop on me that you watch hockey games naked every day, drinking.
I watch most nights. I disrobe.
Or you're just gonna glaze past that information.
Most nights I gear down, and like I said, I feel pretty good to
start. What do you mean you gear down? Like, you just, like, it's a thing. I understand. Like, listen, there are a couple of people that I know in my life. My son's one of them for sure. That when he goes to the bathroom, he's got to be, he gears right down. He doesn't want to wear any clothes. And I'm like, dude, that's so
weird.
Are you going to go into a mall, go into a stall, peel off all your clothes and do the same? I am not that guy. I don't take off my clothes when I go to the bathroom. You've taken it a step further. And I find this interesting where you take off all your clothes to watch television and drink.
Yeah. I have for as long as I can remember.
What's the impetus for that?
I don't know. I'm like,
when did it start?
People around, my wife is fine. There's people around, I'll keep my clothes on, but I generally feel more comfortable naked. I don't know why you're so surprised.
I've never heard. Well, because I've never heard. Like, I've known you for years.
I can't be the only person that watches TV in the rumpus room.
Guaranteed.
You know, in his underwear.
Guaranteed you're one of the only people that watches hockey games naked in your underwear while drinking. Guaranteed. I don't know anybody. Like, and even if someone did, and this is why I give you credit, no one's going to admit it.
Why? I'm not embarrassed by that. I like to be nude.
Behavior where you're home with your family and you're like, I'm going to kick off all my clothes, get naked, get hammered, and watch a hockey game. It's like very odd behavior, dude. Don't you find that a little strange?
No.
Oh, because you've been doing it for a long time. Have you told anybody about this behavior?
This may be the first time I've told people. I really haven't.
It's just one of those things. One of those weird things you say in the course of a conversation where you don't realize it's weird because you do weird stuff, but it's not weird to you.
And then you're like,
maybe I shouldn't have said that.
If we're going to pop the top off of Locke, the waters run deep on weirdness. So if you're asking if I think that's strange, no, because
well, of course not, because you do it all the time.
Let's
like how people really who pick their nose and eat it don't think it's a bad thing. It's like, I don't think
really
it's
want to dance
because you enjoy it.
If you really want to dance with the devil, we can get into it.
I don't know if I do.
I'm telling you right now, That's the least of the weirdest stuff that I do.
Give me one more. I find that to be incredible.
I'm not
going to
do it. No, now you're making me self-conscious. I thought that was okay. Dude, like getting naked and watching TV was
okay. What if I promise? Okay. What if I promise?
I don't trust you.
What? Hang on, dude. What if I promise?
I don't trust you. You brought Scott on to gloat about how much money he's making, and
I know. Like and 2 weeks after you lost your job. But no,
then,
listen.
Then I tell you a story about falling down the stairs drunk, and all you want to talk about is me gearing down into my underwear to watch TV.
Did you fall down the stairs naked too?
I was in my underwear. I had socks on too. And I went hard. Dude, I was at a pile at the bottom of the stairs.
Did you make those crazy old man fall down the stairs noises too?
No, because I was drunk. And I'm telling you, if you're ever going to fall down a set of flight of stairs, do yoga and make sure you're drunk.
What did Deb do? She shit her pants?
She ran down because I was literally crumpled up, head down at the bottom of the stairs. And she came running down. She was, oh, my God, are you okay? And I'm like, hold on, let me just think about it. So I sat there, did a bit of a breath, like, and I think I said, I think I'm okay. I had bent my fingernail back a bit and there was some blood. And then I got a scrape on my arm. But outside of that, man, I might get into stunt work.
You learn something about your friends every day. I want to learn something new about you weekly. I want to go into those fires. I want to learn about how weird.
I don't know
you
if
are.
That's a good idea.
Because everybody hides their weirdness, right? Until you can't hide it anymore. It's like a drug addiction. You just can't hide that kind of weird. Speaking of drug addictions, did you see that? And listen, I'm not a Law & Order fan. Law & Order Toronto was celebrated when they announced it was coming. Dick Wolf, legendary producer, if you watched any Law & Order.
Do you watch them? I don't watch.
Zero desire to watch Law & Order. I don't watch cable television, though.
Some people love those shows, though. Yeah. So.
Yeah, these people that don't like entertainment like those shows. Anyway, I'm going to watch.
Seems like the same premise over and over again. I don't watch them, but
yeah, it is where there's a guy and a girl, and then they got to figure out what led to a crime. And it's like, oh, okay, New York, Chicago, all these crimes, same formula, same thing, right? But this one is true to life, and it is rattling. Doug Ford, who's the premier of this province that I live in, Ontario. Rattling Doug Ford and the government of Ontario. And I'll tell you why. Because the episode of Law & Order Tonight is about a crack smoking mayor. And his brother, Rob Ford, was Toronto's crack smoking mayor. And they borrow heavily from the narrative of Toronto's crack smoking mayor and a bunch of people that died after the video of the crack smoking mayor goes out, which is a narrative. People died after this that were involved in this video, and nothing has ever happened. So Doug Ford is shitting his pants today. The Ford family is shitting their pants today. And the really disappointing thing, I'm going to play you the video here in a second. I'll play you the actual trailer. The really disappointing thing for me is the trailer features an in-shape crack smoking mirror.
Oh, well, they were trying to step away from like,
the 500 pounds, sweaty, fat, messy, crack smoking mirror, which would have been more true to life. Like if they were going to go, hey, let's make this real. You needed an enormously sweaty, egregious, messy.
Okay, before you play the video, we dig into this for just one. Like just
out.
Okay,
dude. Yeah. Go ahead.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If you're sitting on the writing team for Law & Order Toronto.
Yeah, you're just using Robin Doolittle's book.
I think we should do an episode about the crack smoking mayor.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, yeah, that's a great idea. Okay. So now you get into it, maybe you do a little bit of research about what the story is.
Correct.
And then you realize that there's actually a real story here. And
the brother of that crack smoking mayor is the most powerful guy in the province of Ontario, where Toronto resides.
Yeah. Absolutely. So you decide you're going to do it because, hey, listen, regardless of how much everyone's going to be talking about this show, how little or how much, we're going to get some attention about this episode.
Yeah.
No matter how good or bad the show is, people are going to talk about this episode. So here's my thing. And they did this on purpose. They put an in-shape mayor in there. I would have gone all in.
Oh,
I would have pushed all my chips into the middle of the table and gone, all right, get that sweaty guy.
100%. I want a casting call. I don't want an in-shape crack smoking mayor. I want a fat, so fat
that his eyes are closing. That's how fat I want that mayor to be. I want him to be already Rob Ford
in the
fat.
You're already in the canoe. You're already you've already done it.
Yeah,
I know. So just go all in.
The whole episode is an effigy of Rob's crack smoking days as Toronto's ineffective mayor, who was stripped of all of his power when he's like, he's a crack smoker. And everybody's like, whoop, we can't let a crack smoker run the fucking biggest city in Canada. And so they take it up and they're like, nah, you know what? We're going to do an episode that's loosely based. It's not loosely. It is entirely based on Rob Ford. And they're like, how do we avoid the ire of the brother, equally fat brother of the crack smoking, fat, sweaty mayor of Toronto, who just drank and pissed his way through his mayorship. And they're like, make him skinny. They'll never notice. No.
So stupid.
This is coming.
You know
tonight.
What they should have done? They should have called him Doug and then just changed his last name to Dord.
Or Doug. They should have named him Ron Fraud. Ron Forbes. Anyway, here's the Ron Forbes episode of Law and Order.
I'm disappointed in Law and Order Toronto.
I'm not.
Now that they made a skinny mayor.
Oh, yeah. Skinny, good looking, kind of older mayor, too. And you're like, nah, that's not the same mayor that said he wouldn't eat a certain city councilor's vagina because he had enough to eat at home. That is not the same. Guy. That actually happened, by the way, in a live press scrum. Did you remember that?
Yes.
One of the greatest sound bites. I have enough at home. I miss Rob Ford. Anyway, here's the video, the trailer, Law and Order Crack Smoking Mayor, Law and Order Toronto Crack Smoking Mayor episode. Let's enjoy this together. As always, the Dean Blundell Show is brought to you by our friends at factcheck.io. Factcheck.io. Do you believe? The good people at FactCheck are a quorum of software professionals, psychological professionals, journalists that have been very busy building some software so that you can fact check anything that you read. It doesn't matter. If it's got a URL, you'll be able to fact check it. Alternative sources, origins, whether or not it was an organic or inorganic campaign, whether or not you can trust the people that are putting out the information, and alternative sources, and there's going to be a weapon button too, where you can turn that information around and put it back out there accurately to combat disinformation. The good people at factcheck.io are right now testing their beta version of their free program. Yes, it will be free for anybody who wants to use it. They want to battle disinformation because it is a problem. Go to factcheck.io today, FACTCHEK.io, FACTCHEK.io. The world's most robust fact-checking disinformation software for news, social media, video, print, anything spoken word. These people are on the tip. And they use some of the finest software technology to be able to give you the advantage when it comes to getting agency back in your life, when it comes to information that you read. Go to factcheck.io today for more information. Sign up for the beta test, FACTCHEK.io.
When was the video shot?
I don't remember, detectives. I was smoking crack.
This is not the kind of leadership we want our children to see.
Victim is Tatiana Wen. She's an investigative journalist with Toronto Life.
You guys can't stop criminals from killing young women in the street.
So far, all I hear is a lot of conspiracy, not much murder.
Maybe you paid someone to do it for you.
That's slander.
Or it's true.
Right? I mean, who's not watching that? Like, who's not watching that? I'm watching it. I know that that's not, I know Ron Forbes, Mayor Ron Forbes, is a terrible reenactment. That's them going, ooh,
we can't let people know we're doing a whole episode on Rob Ford's crack smoking time as a mayor of Toronto because Doug Ford's
mayor. I'm disappointed in you guys.
I am
so disappointed.
I'm disappointed in Dick Wolf. Speaking of crack, have you seen Conor McGregor's in a new movie? You know, are you aware of this?
Yes, I've told you about this. We've had the Roadhouse.
Yeah, the remake of Roadhouse, right?
We've had the conversation. I remember when it came out, like that there was a discussion about it being redone, and everyone's like, I can't believe you're redoing Roadhouse. And I kind of got on that train for a minute, and then I was like, okay,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why am I upset they're redoing that Patrick Swayze movie? It's not like it's Forrest Gump.
With Jake Gyllenhaal, of all people. He plays Patrick Swayze in the new movie. Yeah, you're right. It wasn't like Roadhouse was this incredible theatrical
But I was angry. I was angry for a moment where I was like,
I don't want to see a redo Roadhouse. I love that movie. Patrick Swayze ripping some guy's throat out of his throat. I don't want to see that.
Masterpiece. I'm going to have to watch the original.
Oh, it's so bad. I watched it like 2 years ago because it was on like Super Channel or something, Roadhouse. And I'm like, oh, this is awful. It's like when you go back and you watch Star Wars and you're like, oh, this is terrible.
Who's the cowboy?
I don't remember.
The guy with the big
mustache. Yeah. Yeah. What was his name? I can't remember his name. He had like a one name name. Like he was like, because he was known to be the tough guy, right? He had one name. Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember his name though. I don't know. I kind of watched.
Hey, Siri. Who's the cowboy in the original Roadhouse? Are you hearing
this in the middle of a podcast, dude? Yeah. I want to get to the Conor McGregor stuff.
Okay, get to the Conor. Sam Elliott.
Yeah, he's a dude. So Conor McGregor, and listen, he's done. Like, his MMA career is done. Any video he puts out where he's like, I'm coming back. He's not coming back. He's done. He's finished. He's toast. He can't. He's like brittle. Get you in the octagon. No, you're never getting in the octagon again. And apparently, and I did some reading and some research after watching this video. Apparently, not only is he too brittle, but Dana White, of all people, and keep in mind, this is UFC where it's like, we don't have any rules. You can do whatever you want. Dana White refuses to actually sign him to a fight deal because apparently he's got a cocaine problem that's so out of control. He's like all over the place. And he was a problem on the set of Roadhouse, by the way, which he is fully naked in. Full frontal nudity. You get to see Conor McGregor's hammer. Apparently he's got a rod on him. But he was at the premiere.
Have you ever seen
Roadhouse
Conor McGregor's statue?
Yeah, massive hog.
Have you ever
massive hog statue?
Yeah. And it's got a huge trouser massive snake. Cod piece. Like, and it's on his it's on his
well, if you did it, yeah, but that was his statue. If you did a statue of yourself, you're giving yourself a massive wiener too, right? Yeah. Yeah, of course you are. Yeah. Like one where you're like, this is almost offensive. Like that big.
That's the statue.
My statue wiener would be offensively big. Where people would like write the city and complain. What is that? I think I can see helmet. Everybody's like, it's a statue. Don't worry about it. It's his own. Anyway, Conor McGregor goes to the Roadhouse premiere in Texas yesterday. Of all places, because they filmed it in Texas, right? The whole thing happened in Texas. That was the whole idea behind Roadhouse, the original movie. Holy shit, is he tweaking on cocaine?
Yeah, he is.
Hi, Connor. Hello, I'm Claire Gallagher with the Daily Texan. What can you tell us about your acting debut? Obviously, it's your first experience.
Hard work, but, you know, we got it done. It's in the bank for life. You know, you put something in the bank, maybe it's not going to be there for life. You might spend it. This baby is in there for life, and I'm ecstatic about that. You know, I got into a good, strong shape. I gave it my all. You know, I was a little probably green at times, a bit rough around the edges, but for the character, it worked. And, you know, onwards to the next one if there is a next one.
Yeah, there you go. Do you see him tweaking? Do you see the start of that? You see
Well, and I think, listen, I don't know a lot about cocaine use, but that last, go to the end.
Dude, look at the start of it first. Look at the start.
Hi, Connor.
Yeah.
Look at him grabbing his, touching his face. Like, he can't stop touching his face. Here he goes. Tweak, grabbing his face.
Well, and look, hold on.
Grabbing his eyes. Yeah.
Okay, I got two observations.
What are they?
One. Hang on. Let me pause it. Right there.
Okay. Yeah.
There's coke on his shoulder. So he wiped it off his nose and then wiped it on his shoulder.
Oh, good call. Look at the white powder on his right shoulder. Yeah.
Okay, and then one more thing here at the end. I'm going to play the last part here. Watch him. You know, watch him. Watch him.
If there is an extra.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's looking away. He just saw his Coke dealer. Because he's out.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Like cocaine. There's if you
Jerry.
Know anything about.
I got to go. There's Jerry. I got to go.
There's Jerry. He's got an eight ball. I got to go get that eight ball because I'm starting to tweak. The start of that thing, he's grabbing his face. He's like rubbing his cheeks and he's trying to grab his, he's touching his like collars to his face. He's like manic.
He's manic because he doesn't want people to really, he probably just did his last line in the bathroom.
Oh, dude. Right. Great call. I don't see how you like.
Hi, Connor.
Watch it. Look at him.
I'm Claire Gallagher with
grabbing
the
his face, grabbing his eyes, doing like, dude, that is not normal. That is
no
that. And just so you know, I have been around one of those guys that's seen a lot of people do a lot of cocaine and is someone that has never done cocaine and has watched people do cocaine sober. That's cocaine, dude. That is 100% cocaine.
Well, and we played the
it's on his shoulder, to your point.
Donald Jr., Trump Jr., whatever his name is, we played his videos. He's clearly... I actually lucked out. So right out of high school, my first job before I got into radio school...
Selling cocaine?
No, it wasn't. It was working at the Lake Okanagan Resort in Kelowna in 1990, 1989. I can't remember what year. It doesn't matter. But I remember being very naive about that drug. And I started to see it. And I was always a little hesitant about anything other than pot. So I kind of stayed away. And at the beginning of our... At the beginning of my time there, everyone's getting to know each other. There's parties and stuff like that. And we lived in these ATCO trailers, just like literally about a half a kilometer away from the resort. And it was like a Friday night. And
The resort employees always got taken care of in those ATCO trailers. That was a lot of fun. That was just one big hand, foot and mouth orgy. When you were a resort employee.
Yeah. And it was awful, awful accommodations, but whatever. You're 18, 19 years old. Right. And I was working at the restaurant at the time, spent the whole summer there. It was a great year and it was early on in the season. Everyone's getting to know each other and we were playing poker and I was at the table and a couple of people came running out of the back room and just like kind of, like got out and it was kind of like hectic. And I remember thinking to myself, that's odd. Why are they running? And then somebody yelled from the back something that got all of our attention. And we went to the back and there was a kid back there and he was clearly doing something and he was twitching on the floor. And everyone's like, half the people were like, I'm getting the fuck out of here. And I remember my buddy and I, Shane, had just gotten to that ATCO trailer to play cards. So we were still relatively sober. Our shifts had ended later than others. So we volunteered to take this kid to the hospital in Kelowna. And if you know that area, it's the Lake Okanagan Resort is on the back end of the lake. And so we had to go into the city. We get into emergency. We drag this kid into the emergency and they come rushing out. They throw him on a gurney and we kind of just hung around. And one of the doctors that was there came out and talked to us and he's like, what happened? What did he take? And we're like, I don't know what the fuck, right? We found out later that he was smoking crack or like smoking cocaine. Oh, like how
freebasing. So
he was burning it on tinfoil. And then had a reaction to it.
Sure.
And right. So they did whatever they do to guys. And I'm sure he was fine, but the doctor said to me, and it scared the shit out of me. Like scared me.
Like, I can't believe you. Most times when someone has a seizure at a party, cause they partied way too hard. People just bail. That's nice that you didn't.
Everybody did.
And that's, everybody's like, I'm out of here.
The doctor said to us, you know, thanks for sticking around. No one does that. They usually, he goes, they usually just drive up into the main doors, roll them out of the car and speed away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's because drugs used to be super illegal back then, right? You felt really bad. You thought you were going to get arrested if you were ODing. So you were like, do I take my chances with jail or do I die?
No, they thanked us.
Everybody's like, nah, you're good. You can go get a Noxolon kit. You can go get one of those kits that'll, you can walk in anywhere and get them for free in this country, which you should. I think it's a really cool thing. However, back to Conor McGregor, that's cocaine. That's got to be cocaine.
But I'm just saying, I think I lucked out, and I don't know what happened to you, but I never had.
I just never did
this desire to do it after that because it scared me.
Do you know what the fucking weird part is? I was thinking about this the other day. You and I both have friends that do cocaine, right? They treat it like it's a recreational thing. Like, you know how you would come home and have a pint or six and fall down the stairs because you were watching hockey naked? There are people out there that come home and they're the same thing, but they literally, in an accepting way, that's how they look at cocaine. That's how they look at chemical drugs, where they'll be like, I'm just going to freebase a little acid. I'm just going to have a little cocaine, right? Legitimately. And in professional sports, it's one of those drugs that is widely accepted and not tested for, specifically in the NHL, right?
It is a little weird.
But you know what's funny? Like, I don't judge anybody's drug use or alcohol use or substance use. Like, I really don't. It's like, hey, dude, you want to do what you want to do. Like, Conor McGregor, that's just a terrible business decision to get all coked up, wipe the coke residue on your black blazer, and then show up to the premiere of your very first movie and go, like, I mean, listen, you want to go do coke at home. And I don't think anybody should do it, but that's just how I feel, right? So, like, when I grew up and you grew up, we looked at cannabis like it was, it's the devil's lettuce. Like, you don't smoke that.
Well, I grew up with hippies. It was very different.
You did. I didn't. I grew up like, ooh, this is terrible. It's like cocaine. It's like heroin. You can't do it. It's so bad for you. You should never do it. And they'd said the same thing about weed, right? Back in the day, it's like weed. It's so bad. You can't do it. And as someone who understands the benefits of cannabis and how enormous they are for your mental health, your physical health, your nervous system, your cannabinoids, like that understands terpenes and effect and sativas and indicas and blends, someone that gets it. It's like, holy shit, they lied to the entire world for like 100 years about the miracle of this plant. Maybe they're lying about cocaine too. And then I see Conor McGregor doing that, and I'm like, oh, maybe they're not lying about cocaine.
I think it's like anything. I think if you do cocaine to excess, Dean.
Yeah, probably not good.
It's not good. Mm-hmm. I remember, I'll tell you another story. This is another drug story.
Yeah, but is it going to have a point?
Yeah, yes, it does. It has a point. It ties into this conversation about maybe they're lying to us.
All right.
So anyway, this was at not this last station I was at, but the previous station. And there was a group of people that, you know, it was a wide swath of people in radio, and there's different characters, different personalities. But there was a gathering in the back in the jock room. This is back, like, this is a long time ago. This is probably 10 plus years ago. And there was probably 10, 12 of us in the back. And there was a conversation about drugs. And like, I'm getting ready for my show, and other jocks are getting ready for their shows. And there's, you know, there's some people from the promotions department, street teamers, all these guys hanging around on computers and just a casual conversation. And it turned to a conversation about cocaine. And there was like four or five guys that were clearly not the type of guys that would do this ever. And they were like, I don't get it. Like, I don't understand why people would. And so they were going back and forth. Yeah, I don't get it. I've never tried it either. Right. Like, I've always drank. And so everyone's sort of interjecting. And there's a half the room's being pretty quiet. Right. Mm-hmm. And there's one kid there who's in a band. He's got long hair. And he's like one of the setup guys, the tech guys for the remotes and everything. And he's doing this. And he is getting more and more agitated. And finally, he just turns around in his chair and he faces the group of people. And he goes, I don't know what you're talking about. Cocaine is fucking awesome. again, it's perspective. Right?
Yeah, it is, I guess.
Couldn't handle all these people that didn't know what this drug was because once every couple of months, when he had enough money, him and his buddies would get an eight ball and have a weekend.
I don't judge those guys. I don't judge those guys. Either. If that's what you want to do, you're going to have a good time. Great stuff. But, like, dude, I go back to that point. I think about sleeping. I sleep 8 hours a night. Eight, nine sometimes, seven if I'm unlucky, eight. I never slept like that until I started smoking cannabis. And I remember, like, literally, it's like 2-3 years ago, falling asleep literally in my mind going, fucking government. Like, the fucking government stole sleep from so many people for so long. I have friends that have never smoked that are all in to the edibles before they go to bed. I have friends who is like, I'll never do drugs, who sit and smoke spliffs with their wives on the patio at night before they go to bed because it makes them feel better. And every time I hear a story like that, I'm like, I don't know, maybe battery acid isn't bad for you. Maybe meth is not terrible. Like, it's one of those ones where, like, it's totally taken all the teeth out of my desire to not see people do drugs until I see a Conor McGregor video of him sweating his way through a monkey, right? Where he's like, because that's bad. But in moderation, maybe meth isn't so terrible.
I think, like, any of them, anything that you, like, alcohol. Not good for you, right? If you do it to excess. Cannabis, I'm sorry. I know you think it's some kind of wonder drug.
It is.
But if you do it too much, it can cause problems
you're
in your
way
life.
More relaxed.
It can cause problems in your life.
Totally. It's not a motivating thing for a lot of people. Some people say they're more creative on it, but to that point, yeah, you're right. Moderation is the key for everything. And I tell that to every guy I work with. You can do anything you want. If you moderate, and it's like, I don't know what that means. I'm like, well, then you can't do those things. Like that's
and you and I have both known those guys. Like I have a lot of friends in my life, and we've talked about my drinking. I can shut it down, right?
Yeah.
I can have six beers, fall down the stairs, and go to bed. I don't need to keep drinking.
By the way, did the wife wake you up a few times last night just to make sure you weren't concussed? That old routine?
No, but there was a moment this morning where she wanted to know how I felt. Like,
okay.
Like when I rolled out of bed, she was like, anything? And I'm like, no, just a scrape on my arm. Like,
yeah, but
I'm good.
Big scars. She's probably looking at that going, my man can fall down the stairs with the best of them. That is a turn on. And watching you roll down there at 225, totally naked, probably really, really set her up.
I had underwear and
sexual success later. That's great. Good for you.
Yeah, there was none of that. There was no hanging from the chandeliers after falling down the stairs.
Anyway, listen, all the best. Really appreciate you joining me today as well. Lachlan Cross is here at Cryer Media, and it is time now for a look back. As he's only 2 weeks removed from being the host of the biggest rock and roll. No, I'm doing this on purpose.
2 weeks today.
2 weeks today. Removed. He got fired 2 weeks today. Removed from the locker room. Host of a wildly successful morning show in the city of Edmonton, Alberta. Company decided to burn it down because a club DJ told him to. No big deal. But listen, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
I can't help myself, dude. This is me. Do you have a retro replay from the locker room for us today?
I do.
The Lock Retro Replay.
Thank you for calling the D room reservations. My name is Darlene. How may I help you?
Darlene, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. We were just down at the D in Las Vegas. We had a great time. We were there for the Metallica concert. We're calling from Canada.
Oh, okay.
Did they hire you, Darlene, because you've got a D name?
No.
Darlene, the D. Well, we're putting her on staff.
I don't think so.
I got a weird request, and I don't know if you'll be able to help us out. We have a little buddy that's a bit of a, well, he's a hotel thief, and we wanted to report him.
He was staying in room
1515, and he stole all the shampoo and liquids and everything.
Just anything that wasn't chained down, he put in his bag.
Just the shampoo.
You brought an empty bag just to bring stuff back.
It's just shampoo.
Darlene?
Huh. Okay.
If we ever come back to Vegas, I think you should put some sort of a note on his file. His name is James.
Who is he?
James P. White. He's James. A little person.
He's a little person. James P. White. He might be dressed up as Elvis. If he comes back, he's a hotel thief.
Keep the eye in the sky on him next trip.
At all times.
Okay.
It's just the shampoo.
And charge the credit card on 1515, room 1515.
For the shampoo.
No, because the little dick doesn't have a credit card, and he had to put mine down, so don't do that.
Oh, okay.
All right. Listen, Darlene.
We won't take up any more of your time.
Please, what was the owner's name again? Derek that we met? Guy with the
Derek?
No.
Derek Stevens.
Yeah. Derek.
Yes.
Yeah. Let Derek know that we had a really good time and we won't bug you any longer, okay?
Okay, I will.
All right. You take care
You have a great day, okay?
Yeah, she was really excited to be on the radio with you, that Darlene.
Yeah. Every time we go anywhere, travel, we would always phone the hotels.
Yeah.
Port Jimmy as a thief.
You should. And dude, you know how many, he told me once he's stolen like 12 robes in the last 10 years.
The guy is just
he's got like 10 irons.
He's
brings
got like
10 hotel irons.
Dude, he brings an extra bag down with him. Like an empty bag in his luggage to take stuff home.
My mom used to do that. She'd go on business trips with my dad. She'd come home and she's like, "I've got all new towels." And I'm like, "What? Where'd you get them?" It's like a big H on them. I'm like, "What is this?" She's like, "It's the Hilton." I'm like, "Wow, awesome. These are really nice towels from place." And they'd leave and go to California, come back. And he's like, "I got two new irons." And I'm like, "What do you mean two new irons?" She's like, "Well, this one's from Motel 6 and this one's from Waldorf Astoria." I'm like, "Well, those are two different ends."
That was the trip that we had a competition before we went down and Jimmy lost and he had to take a 13, 14 inch black dildo to Vegas with him in his carry on.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see it in the cameras when we were coming through. And the guy that was watching the cameras.
Oh, and the security, the infrared security.
Over he was like,
"Yeah, yeah." Well, then
he took it and stuck it in his shower because he's only 4 feet tall. So he stuck it in there. So it would
I know. Really I know how dildos look when you stick it against the wall.
Because it had a suction cup on it. That's, I didn't know that, but some of them have. So for stability.
The Dean Blundell Show is brought to you by FactCheck.io. FactCheck.io, makers of the world's most comprehensive fact-checking software that have been very busy building some software so that you can fact-check anything that you read. It doesn't matter. If it's got a URL, you'll be able to fact-check it. Alternative sources, origins, whether or not it was an organic or inorganic campaign, whether or not you can trust the people that are putting out the information so that you can give yourself agency over information in the age of disinformation. Again, want to beta test their product? They're going to launch it in the next month or two. Go to factcheck.io today. FactCheck.io. Back to the show. For stability.
It was huge too. I don't know how people get those.
Yeah, I know. You know what? I don't ask.
Yeah.
I don't ask for the physics of it after I watch Pornhub. I don't get out my protractor and go, "How is that possible?
That's gotta hurt."
I don't know.
You do you, but I don't know if I want that much.
Well,
inside
I think
me.
You work up. Okay, I think you work.
Yeah, I don't think you start there. I don't. No. That wasn't a starter dildo.
I'm laughing because that's a whole podcast. Never used a dildo before. Where do I start? Okay. Here are a list of the starter dildos.
Get Emily on.
She's on Monday. Yeah. Emily and Riley. We'll ask them about that. Sugar Daddies as well. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll wrap up the whole, I don't know. You got to watch that Fifth Estate piece. We'll talk about it tomorrow on the podcast with India murdering Canadians, apparently working with certain politicians in Canada. It is fucking wild. It's the biggest story on Crier. Go to crier.co to check it out. And it's the biggest underground story.
I don't know anything. Right. I do. It's making its way into the landscape, the media landscape right now, but I don't know a lot about it. That's Fifth Estate thing was from Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll just give you a quick little, Cole's Notes tour of the whole thing. It is the wildest Canadian espionage story maybe ever. And I don't even like, it's one of those stories that you don't know if you should publish when you write it, because you're afraid that you might get a knock at the door at like 3 o'clock in the morning. But I wrote it, like, I'll give you a couple of the details of it. It's bananas, dude. Like, it's the weirdest shit. It's kind of, it's movie stuff. It's like Hunt for Red October stuff, only with people from India and some dead Sikhs and Pierre Polyev and the Conservative Party. Fifth Estate doc about India killing Canadians / working with the Conservative Party of Canada to steal elections. Just a fucking insane story. And if you go to YouTube or if you go to Cryer Media, you can check it out. It's on the front page of the website where you can actually watch the YouTube video. What makes this fascinating to me, this is not in the world of conspiracy theories. CBC put this out. And for the last 2 years, Pierre Polyev has been screaming, defund the CBC. I think you're seeing why now. Because this story about how he, along with the Conservative Party of Canada, worked with certain interests in the Modi government out of India to get a gentleman named Arpan, who is a Modi centrist, an Indian nationalist.
That's crazy.
To be the Conservative candidate and MP for London, Ontario / Oxford.
And this is all of it's in the Fifth Estate.
Not only is all of that in the Fifth Estate, the same people, the Fifth Estate alleges, CBC alleges, big time news outlets allege, it's a crazy story, that these are the same people that the FBI and the CIA charged and outed several months ago for coordinating an extensive assassination plot of several Sikh nationals who are trying to establish their homeland of and in India. And this is where it gets wild. And it started with an intrajudicial killing of a gentleman named Mr. Nijjar in Surrey, BC last year, which was...
That's the name everyone's familiar with.
Nijjar, N-I-G-N-I-J-A-R. And the Fifth Estate of Special talks... literally, it shows all the CCTV, talks to his son, talks to CSIS agents, talks to agents, and it ties together not only these assassination and attempted assassination plot of other Canadians on Canadian soil by the Indian government, but the same people involved in that allegedly worked with the Conservative Party of Canada to get rid of Patrick Brown in the leadership race and support Pierre Polyev. And the other allegation in this is the illegality of ballot stuffing and then framing Patrick Brown with a $50,000 payment to a woman named Debbie Jodwen. It is bananas. And there is a massive reason why mainstream media in this country is staying away from it, because people that run mainstream media in this country have political leanings and they are conservative to a...
Hang on.
There is a reason.
If you can't prove a lot of this stuff, too, it makes it a little bit difficult to do stories on it.
Well, dude, you can prove it. It's in the CBC. This is a legitimate news outlet that's like, hey, does anybody want to look at this? Does anybody want to have a look at this? Nobody. Like, a story like this about the challenge of Canadian sovereignty by terrorists and the possibility of a foreign government working with one of our parties to change the results of any kind of election in this country. Dude.
The other issue is in
front page news everywhere is what I'm saying.
The other, I will say this, and this is where we're getting into some very interesting times with respect. And this has been going on now since the late 90s, early 2000s. And again, we've touched on it here. The way the industry, the media, and broadcast has been handled by big corporations and the slash and burn, it has completely not only marginalized the industry and the people that work in the industry, it has marginalized their attempts to do good work. Have you seen Spotlight?
Yeah. The movie about Catholic priests. Yeah.
That story took years, and there was like 4 or 5 people in that department that worked for that newspaper that spent years researching before they released that to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we don't have, that luxury just doesn't, we don't have departments like that. We don't have media like that. We can't do investigative journalism anymore. It doesn't exist.
You're 100% right. But why doesn't it exist in this country?
It
doesn't exist for the same reason that you largely see news outlets that have become cultural megaphones for the people that they want to win elections.
Yes, but also there's no staff. There's no time. There's no staff. And I get the political leanings. Dean, you're not wrong. But I'm telling you right now, a guy is not going to be able to, in the world that we live in right now, that I just got ceremoniously punted from, there are no people left that are spending 6 months. That's why it's on CBC, because they still have staff that has the time to do proper investigative journalism.
Yeah.
That's not happening in a lot of outlets.
Because they're government funded. Yeah. Totally. And I understand what you're saying. This is starting to make its way. This has been going on for like months, right? This story is months old, but this is the first time someone's put it all together and said, hey, we need to start asking questions about your national security and Canada's sovereignty, specifically around the Conservative Party of Canada, specifically because people from other countries are killing Canadians. And those are the same people that are supporting certain people in politics in this country. There's a foreign interference hearing that's going on. India is now part of that. Russia is part of that. China is part of that. But I'm going to tell you something. We're going to talk about this at length tomorrow. I'm going to try and get my buddy Arne Kislingel on to talk about it too, to give us some more backstory.
It's kind of terrifying.
We are only now, as a country, and it should terrify everybody. And listen, I'm not talking to conservatives or liberals. I'm talking to you as Canadians. You're going to find some stuff out that is going to scare the shit out of you when it comes to the same people who talk about how Canada is broken for a reason, because other countries want Canada to look broken. You're going to find out some foreign interference shit in the next couple of months that is going to turn your hair green. Guarantee it. You're going to find out that Canada is not as secure as you think it is, and it never has been. You're going to find out. We have
Chinese troops on the ground right now.
According to Moose. Yeah. No, you don't. You're going to find out how business, politics, and foreign interference are all connected in the next 2 to 3 months. You're going to find that out. And they're going to try to not point fingers, because this kind of foreign interference, the kind of money that we're talking about, the kind of influence, the kind of power that comes with taking over your business, taking over the business of a government, is life or death for certain cultures. You're going to find out some stuff that is going to bother you as a Canadian over the next 2 months. And if this story doesn't bother you as a Canadian because your guy is wrapped up in it, it's probably an indicator that you should maybe challenge your biases and your objective reality, because Canada is not a secure country at the moment.
I don't think anybody is when it comes to foreign influence, right? I think most countries are dealing with this on some level, right? And I think it's also democratic leaning countries are targeted, because we're the countries that actually support a lot of the balancing of power mechanisms, right?
Yeah.
And if you can get somebody in, say you're from an India or a China or a Russia, if you can get somebody in power that maybe is, you know, being paid off behind the scenes, that would impact or slow down the support of those democratic leaning mechanisms, there's a benefit there. It's cliche, but I'm guessing that this still comes up today. Follow the money, right? Like, and you'll probably get your answers. Mm-hmm. So,
Yep. No, you're 100% right.
I'm going to go watch that Fifth Estate.
Yeah, you should. Call me when you're done. I want like two words. Just give me two words to describe what you just watched. Fifth Estate. You can actually go get that. It's banned in India. Did you know that?
They ban a lot of our stuff in India, don't they?
Yeah. That, we're like the number 6,000.
They don't like Justin either, which is odd because he loves India. No, this is
the same
country
that, like, what he, yeah, I know he loves to get dressed up and do the Bollywood dancing. I know. It's like, da, 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 da. That is the most embarrassed I've ever been as a Canadian, watching him get dressed up in a sari, go, da, 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 da. But this challenges it as an embarrassed Canadian, knowing that our national security is as important as the money that certain politicians' friends make in different countries that are challenging our national security. So whatever. But keep an eye out for this story. I'm telling you, it is going to get greasy.
No one's hearing
about it for a reason, because every politician, not every, there are a handful of really good ones, like my buddy Nate. He's a great guy. Nate Erskine-Smith, talked to him yesterday. There are some really good politicians, but generally speaking, we are not run by those guys.
And you know what? It's every organization. I keep trying to figure out why these people end up controlling things. Like,
It's because their parents are super rich and they pay for that. Right? It's generational.
Why are all these companies run by people with very, very shy, moralistic? Like,
well, hang on. And I'll end on this, and then we'll get into it tomorrow, because I really want to talk about this Netflix show called The Program. I finished watching it last night. I think 3 episodes, right? The Program.
I sent the producer a note to try to get her on.
Catherine Daniels. She's incredible. Yeah. Anyway, if you watch that, you see these two guys that run it. The Lichtenstein brothers, Narvin and Ron.
Yeah.
And they're two of the dumbest fucking people in the world. Two of the dumbest. And to a person, every parent that got rooked into sending their kid to these fake schools for thousands of dollars a month so this guy could collect big bang.
Is that a Canadian thing too? Is there?
No, that's not allowed in Canada. There's a loophole in the States. You can't. Their behavioral stuff is controlled here more than it is in Canada when it comes to rehabilitation, behavioral rehabilitation. In the States, it's like anybody can say they're a behavioral expert. Anyway, long story short, I'm watching this and I'm like, how the fuck are those two morons, the Lichtenstein brothers, how are they able to do this? Hundreds of millions of dollars, fake behavioral schools, selling them to parents that just didn't want their kids around because they were annoyed by their kids. Two Christian families, by the way. I'm like, how is it possible that all of these people were fooled by these two idiots? And it's amazing. Because every single parent in that documentary said the same thing. They're like, I can't believe it. Like, I'm a smart guy. I'm a rich guy. I can't believe I got hoodwinked by those two morons. And it's devastated our entire family. You got to watch it, The Program. I want to talk to her about it. But to your point about how stupid people are and these people get power, it's like this amazing anomaly that still exists. Like, I know a lot of really, I grew up with guys that were really stupid. Some of them were lawyers. And I'm like, how did you do that?
We had a conversation one time. A friend of mine, and we were talking about a coworker, and we were talking about his ability to, and this was not a smart man. And so there was always this conversation when he was able to talk somebody into doing something for him. There was always this conversation about whether or not that ability to manipulate people for whatever it was. And it doesn't even to be nefarious, but he had this ability to manipulate people in his life and people he knew for a long time and knew for a very short period of time to do things for him. And he was a complete narcissist. You'll run into these people, like a true narcissist, this man. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys that worked very closely with him thought that was a sign of intelligence. And I kept saying to this guy, I'm like, I don't think it's a sign of intelligence. I think it's the only skill he has. And he learned it as a kid. And maybe he started manipulating his parents on some level. And that's just all he focused on. And you could see this man, this very narcissistic personality here on the radio, walk into a room and he would literally be looking around at the new people. And you could see his mind turning and you could see him trying to figure out if there was somebody in there that showed any weaknesses that he could take advantage of. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't think that's a sign of intelligence. I think that's just a gift and something that he's always been able to do. And always he's had this ability to manipulate people because he's just been doing it his whole life. And he was able to sniff out the type of personalities that it that would he be more manipulate. Effective on.
Yeah, yeah. They're called predators, actually.
Yes. And this guy was like literally, and he did not get me because he'd be in a room with somebody and then he would talk a street teamer into going to Starbucks to get him a coffee.
It's the same guy that used to make people like clean up his dog shit outside of the radio station.
Ding, 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 ding. So I would literally, and this happened on a fairly regular basis. I would park in the, and I'd come up and I'd see a guy picking up the dog shit and I'd go, what are you doing? Oh, you know, and they'd be guilty. And I'm like, now come with me. And I'd walk into the building and I'd walk right up to him and I go, clean up your own dog shit, you piece of like, and he'd be just like, what? Like, what? Oh. I was going to pay him. What were you going to pay him? I don't know, like 20 bucks. Well, give him $20 because he did most of the work. Give him $20 right now. And he'd just be like, what? Like, and the girl on her way to get him Starbucks, I'd stop her in the hall, go, what are you doing? I'm going because I'd overhear the conversation. No, he can go get his own fucking coffee. Like that, he did not like me because I was on to his bullshit.
Yeah. Well, and, you see, you're smart. Not a lot of people are. They're like, hey, I don't know if I'm smart.
Imbalance in the world. And when I see imbalance, it drives me nuts. And if I see somebody taking advantage of somebody else, I've always had that ability to step in and deal with it on a conflict level. Mm. Anyway.
Thank you for sharing that with us. I do. I mean it.
But that's how those people, they seek out opportunities and they put themselves in situations where they're trying to manipulate things to their advantage, right? Like the Lichtenstein brothers.
Dude, have you been on Twitter? Dude, that's all this is. It's, this is the stupid person's pandemic and it'll last much longer than the actual medical pandemic only because stupid people are having a moment right now and they are dummies are having a moment and dude, whether it's Frankie Graves at Ecos, whether it's Donald J. Robertson, CBT therapist, whether it's Dr. Eric Topol, anybody that I have spoken to, they will say the same thing. It's stupid people season. That's all they say. We are in a pandemic of dumb, and dumb people are having a hot minute right now. It's trendy to be stupid. It's trendy to be ignorant. The problem is a lot of people are like, they might be right. I'm going to go over there with the stupid people. Right? That's why Rogan has 12 million subscribers. Anyway, thanks for doing this. Great to see you.
All right.
Go take care of yourself. Lock and Cross at Lock and Cross on Twitter. You can find everything he does at Cryer Media.
Gonna have another cup of coffee.
You know what you should do is probably go down a little water, maybe chase it with a Caesar, and just kind of get on with your day.
It's good advice.
All right.
Good to see you today, Dean.
Good to see you too, buddy. Lock and Cross. He's such a good guy. It's a wealth of alcohol experience in this podcast. A good 50 years of it. I don't know if I should have mocked him for watching hockey games naked while he drinks, but I don't regret it. Never heard of that before. Maybe I'm weird. I like to watch TV with some clothes on, especially when there are people around. Have a great day, everybody. Appreciate you being part of the show. As always, we are brought to you by our friends at CanTorque, makers of rugged, hardworking torque wrenches, Canada's leading industrial tool experts, giving you the very best in sales, service, rental, calibration, maintenance, and custom fabrication of industrial torque tools, sexy ones too, that come with a Canadian maple leaf on every single one of their torque wrenches, tool rentals, calibration services, repairs to custom fabrication and distribution opportunities. That's what CanTorque offers. Products, services, news, their podcast, everything is on their brand new website. Go to CanTorque.com today. They address bolting needs for heavy machinery, heavy industry around the world. If there is not a loosening or fastening solution in nuclear, forestry, railroad, the steel industry, heavy industry, if you can't tunneling, boring industry. I mean, these guys make tools and torque wrenches for applications that are out of this world. So if you're in any of those industries, there's one stop you need to make, and it's at cantork.com. You can see all their products and services, unparalleled expertise for 20 years. They ship around the world, proudly manufactured in Canada, made for Canadians, made by Canadians for industry around the world. They have an incredible reputation because Colin cares. So go to cantork.com for more information today. Also brought to you by the ladies at the Muse on the Mic podcast. Emily and Riley will be joining us on Monday to talk sugar daddies, among other things. They also will Muse Massage Spa, entrepreneurs, sexologists, educators as well. And their podcast is great, Muse on the Mic. Their Patreon version is uncensored. You will love it. They've got an excellent version of it, which is kind of cleaner. Can't believe it actually lives on YouTube. YouTube's cool now. Maybe they're getting it. Maybe they're understanding that the adult industry is indeed the world's oldest. Anyway, go and download their podcast on YouTube as well, Muse on the Mic, or at Cryer Media. And check out MuseMassageSpa.com. You can choose your Muse or your treatments. 1290 Finch Avenue West, Unit 13, Toronto, Ontario. This is the number one body rub parlor in the entire country. People come from all over the world just to experience what Emily and Riley have to offer. And you can learn all about it on their podcast. So MuseMassageSpa.com, Muse on the Mic podcast as well. Fellas, I got your underwear too. We're brought to you by Gitch. The best underwear in the world. Boxer briefs, pouch in the front, bunch of different colors, orange, red, purple, and black, four packs and singles. And if you buy four, you get the fourth for free. When you use promo code GITCH3 at checkout, you'll also get another 15% off your entire purchase. Massive online clothing store. Ed's Fine Imports is sneaky good digitally. They've got a great shop, lots of accessories, footwear, clothing. Clothing for men and boys, different brands. They've got wedding packages, gift cards, tons of shoes too. But Gitch is where it's at. I wear them all the time, so should you. You're never going to take these things off. Made for every day and every level of performance. You can run, walk, or sprint through your day, barely their fabric, and you'll never get rid of them. All you'll do is order these from now on. You're going to order them for your friends. It'll change your life. It's like a tree fort for your stuff. Gitch, engineered for any level of performance as well as everyday life. Buy three, get one free. Promo code GITCH3. edsfineimports.com. And of course, brought to you by our anchors at factcheck.io. End-to-end epistemology, end-to-end checking of all facts in any kind of URL. It doesn't matter what it is. This is the incredible part about Fact Check. So they contacted us after Canada Proud sued us. And they said, listen, we want to chase down facts. We want to end disinformation. We've had scientists and journalists, data scientists working on this, psychologists. We think we have something here. They showed it to us. Then we went to their office. Then we played with the beta test. It's a disinformation killer. It checks everything from the source material to the people that are spreading the information to the people and the countries that it comes from. It doesn't just check pathology. It checks epistemology and the software itself. You can weaponize it. You can share that information. You can actually put truth into the atmosphere. If it bothers you that disinformation is a killer in society, you need to get on board with the beta check of the factcheck.io disinformation killer. Their new software is being beta tested right now. You can go to factcheck.io and sign up on the front page of the website. You can also share that link with other people. Go to factcheck.io if disinformation has been a pain in your ass. And if you are tired of being lied to, and if you're tired of being social media bombed by fake bots and trolls, factcheck.io is your answer and the answer globally. So check out their beta test today. Join them. FAKTCHEK.io, factcheck.io. Do you believe? Have a wonderful day, everybody. Appreciate you spending some time with us. Don't forget, everything we do can be found at Cryer.co, Cryer Media. Again, Cryer.co. You can check us out and this podcast visual versions on YouTube, Cryer Media YouTube channel, Dean Blundell Show YouTube channel as well, and anywhere you get your fine podcasts, audio versions, Google, Apple, Spotify, etc. And don't forget our three-part Stoic series. You can check out the audio version anywhere you get the fine podcasts, Google, Apple, Spotify. Donald J. Robertson was great. Highly encourage everybody to listen to that. Difference between Jordan Peterson and real psychology. Have a great day, everybody. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, SayTheDamnScore.com.
I'm Matt Kundle, host of the Sound Off Podcast, the show about podcast and broadcast. Since 2016, we've been speaking with amazing people who have populated your ears for decades. Legendary broadcasters, research wizards, talent experts, podcasters, voice talent. Almost 400 stories, all for free. Subscribe or follow the Sound Off Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at soundoffpodcast.com.